Continuing in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth and the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I might find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The young man who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I'm a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. I understand that's about a bushel. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. The word of the Lord.
Even if you're one of those people who keeps on top of fads and fashions, it may come as a surprise to you some of the things that have been making a comeback recently. Things like macrame and tie-dye, or how about this, rattan or wicker furniture. Some of you are nodding, you remember that. Or how about the mullet plus mustache combination? Party on the front and in the back. So if you've been holding on to those things since the 60s and 70s and 80s, you are finally back in luck. It is a wonder some of the things that caught on in the first place. Meanwhile, there are other things that should have remained central across all generations and cultures that have sadly been lost. Specifically today, I'm talking about the practice of blessing. The biblical definition of blessing is favor with God, a closeness in relationship that means his goodness and abundance leaks out into all areas of life, including those around us who also receive then a taste of that divine comfort and kindness from God. We tend to think about blessing as something that's received by the deserving from the saintly and kind of near the end of a success story. At the hospice here in town, I get to work with different spiritual leaders from our community, and we had one family request a Catholic priest come to provide last rites, which is a final blessing spoken over the dying. Afterwards, I was talking with this priest, and he was telling me how they're trying to re-educate their parishioners to reach out sooner and receive blessing throughout the life journey and that end-of-life journey. Today, in the story of Ruth and in our lives, God wants to bring back the blessing, but it's not always when or how or with whom we might expect. The truth of this story in Scripture is that God leads with blessing, that we can opt in or opt out of it. Blessing is more for those who need it than necessarily deserve it, and blessing is received with some pain, yet it multiplies in abundant grace. A bit of a recap from where we've been so far. Last week, Naomi, in the midst of her grief-stricken lament, arrived back at her hometown of Bethlehem with Ruth at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, it's been a long season of covenant curse in the promised land of Israel, which God warned would happen if his people lived contrary to his ways, but now that famine has lifted, and there will be a harvest worth talking about this year. So God is already bringing back the blessing. He's taken his time, and it hasn't always come through expected channels. And today, that blessing comes back more and more to and through some of the unlikeliest characters, beginning with the foreign, widowed, tag-along daughter-in-law named Ruth, who's been quiet as a shadow for the last little while, far from anyone or anything we might consider blessed. To put it in current context, think of a young Middle Eastern woman arriving in North America as a refugee. She speaks very little English and knows nothing of Western culture or customs, and she has to find work now to support herself and her mother-in-law. Then if you factor in current data on anti-immigration sentiments in North America, you start to get a bit of an idea of what Ruth might have been facing in her day and age. In the era of judges in Israel, the Israelites were nasty toward their own countrymen, let alone a foreign female with no male escort, no husband or father to look out for her. So Ruth is painfully aware of her place and her precarious position. We see her asking her mother-in-law permission. She says to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean." And even though by law in Israel, widows and foreigners have a right to harvest behind any gleaners and pick up the leftovers, she asks permission again from a field worker. She says, "Please, let me gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." Forget blessing. Ruth is just trying to survive here. But God, who may seem silent and absent in this story, he has other plans. And we read, as it happened, Ruth randomly comes upon a field belonging to a man named Boaz, who just so happens to be a kinsman of Naomi. And he just so happens to, at that moment, arrive from the village. Through seeming happenstance in this story, and maybe in our lives, God is bringing blessing back. Now, he's already been bringing it back to the land of Israel, and he's already brought it back to this man named Boaz. We read that he's a man of both wealth and valor. Especially in our day and age, these days of social media, it's easy for us to look at a snapshot of someone like Boaz and think, oh, they're blessed, and assume they have lived this charmed life. But we learn here, if we dig a little deeper, that blessing often comes with wounding too. Things have not always been easy for this man named Boaz. While others were off chasing greener grass, he stuck it out over 10 years in this famine-stricken land. And even before that, Boaz's outlook and identity would have been shaped by family experiences of marginalization. See, Boaz grew up hearing stories of a woman named Rahab. She was a Canaanite woman who most likely worked in a brothel when Israeli spies came to scope out the land on their way to claim the promised land as their own. Having heard of the power of their God, Rahab hid those spies. She protected them, and only she and her family were spared when the walls of her city of Jericho miraculously came tumbling down. But she wasn't just allowed to live. Rahab later married into God's chosen nation and joined them in the blessing of the promised land. She became either the grandmother or great-grandmother of Boaz. Boaz in this story. Boaz knows that God leads with blessing from his family history, and he leads with blessing before we're even fully aware of who God is and what he's done for us. Boaz knows wounding often is what opens us up to receive and then give that blessing. I want to share a story of a man that I see these same qualities in. This is a man I know from childhood. He worked with my dad when my dad was the director of a mission. And as a child, I was pretty shy, particularly scared of men with their booming voices. I just was afraid of them. I don't know why, but for some reason, this man was different to me as a shy child. I would usually end up somehow sitting in his lap, something I usually reserved only for my dad. There was something as a child that felt safe in this man and drew me to him. As I grew up, I learned more and more about his life story. And it has been riddled with heartbreak. I don't know the full story, but I do know it includes the loss of two immediate family members far, far too young. I also discovered something about this man, that he memorized and prayed through more scripture than anyone I've ever met. He had the word of God in his heart. And when my dad was sick, he was the first one who would ask me, ask my mom, how's Andy? And when my dad died, I'll never forget it. I was in the garden. I was wearing my rubber boots, just standing there, and up pulls this truck. Out comes this man. He comes straight towards me. And I don't remember anything he said. I don't think he had many words to say. But he was just shaking his head, and there were tears in his eyes and mine. But that man blessed my heart. Somehow in his woundedness and his brokenness, he had received the blessing of the word of God, and it shone through him even when he didn't know what to say. So he came to mind today as I was reading and thinking about Boaz in this story. And sometimes it's those wounded people with the word of God in their heart who best know how to bless. I think Boaz was that kind of a man. And we get to watch how he lives and give blessing here. Notice as he enters this scene and enters this story, he begins the day by greeting his workers, kind of like we do sometimes here, the Lord be with you. And they respond, the Lord bless you. Imagine if every boss did that. What a different world it would be. And Boaz here, he knows his workers well enough to see that one of these people is not like the others. He notices Ruth. She's there, probably trying to keep her head down, not even taking breaks. But despite every effort to blend in, she probably stands out as all of the others are probably singing and socializing together as they work. And notice how Boaz treats her here. He doesn't call attention to her. He doesn't call her out. Instead, he inquires discreetly and he asks, to whom does this young woman belong? He's sensitive to that belonging place, that welcome. He's asking about blessing. Boaz learns that Ruth is a kin and also a kindred spirit. She too knows what it's like to leave her home country and work hard. This is the chance for Boaz to give back the blessing he and his family have received And this is our chance to learn how to bring blessing back. So let's watch carefully here. Boaz, again, he leads with that verbal blessing. He calls Ruth right off the bat, my daughter. It's a familial term. It's a term of belonging. And he speaks over her this imagery straight from Scripture of God's grace, like a gathering embrace of a mother bird. He says, may you be fully and richly rewarded by the Lord, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I imagine for Ruth, it was quite the contrast to Naomi's silent treatment on the road to Bethlehem, or maybe the stares and whispers she encountered as she stepped onto those fields. To speak comfort kindly to another, using words of Scripture and making them our own, that is the beginning of blessing. But it is only the beginning of blessing. If you remember a while back, we went through the book of James, and the author there writes, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words and never do anything? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking blessing, and then walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. He says, isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is nonsense? That's James for you, straight to the point. But Boaz here leads by example with blessing in word and then also in action by ensuring Ruth's provision and her protection in abundance. So he says to her, stay close to my young women workers. What he's doing here is ensuring her safety in that protection of numbers, which he also reinforces by saying to his young men workers, harass her and you answer to me. But there's a social provision to that action as well. As he introduces her to those young women, Boaz is paving her way to acceptance by the local circles, which is no small feat because those small town cliques can sometimes be hard to break into. So he's very thoughtful and thorough here in his blessing. He introduces Ruth around. He shows her the break room and the water cooler. And then at lunch, he demonstrates the kind of treatment he expects from everyone else by inviting Ruth to sit and to eat next to him. Again, that's an expression of family and acceptance. Come eat this bread, he says, and drink this wine, heaping up so much grain for her that she eats until full and still has some left over. Boaz makes Ruth's well-being his responsibility. He is using God-given blessings of influence and power and position to ensure Ruth is warmly and abundantly welcomed. And then he even goes one step further. There at the end, we see he gives instructions to his workers. Don't reproach her or rebuke her. Again, that social provision. But let her glean even among the standing sheaves. So not just the leftover grain, but the good stuff. And he says, better yet, even pull some handfuls from your bundles and leave them for her. So that by the end of the day, Ruth goes home with a bushel, which is about 30 pounds of barley, not to mention her leftovers from lunch. Verbal, active, abundant provision and protection. That is how to bring back the blessing. We've said a lot so far about Boaz this morning, but there's something here in Ruth's reaction to all of this that bears noticing. Because I think at certain points in our lives, we could all see ourselves in how she responds here. Notice how she responds. She says, why? Why have you noticed me and favored me? I am just a foreigner. I am not even of the standing of one of your servants. I am just this. I am not even that. We could all fill in those blanks with things that we think exclude us from membership among God's blessed people. Ruth, we would reason, has already shown herself to be an industrious person of integrity, someone we might think worthy of blessing. So of course, God, through Boaz, would notice and favor her. But Boaz's abundance in blessing is just a shadow of God's abundance. His blessing is not just for those who deserve it most, but also those who need it most. When Jesus comes along, he says, "Blessed are the poor, the meek, the mourning, the hungry and thirsty, the persecuted." And then Jesus took God's blessing one step further and he said, "We are to receive and give blessing even to those who curse." While we were still sinners, Scripture says, Christ died for us. That's the kind of blessing Jesus wants to bring back. Maybe you're in a position in life at a stage where God has clearly and abundantly blessed you with belonging and protection and provision. Or maybe you consider yourself these days more disqualified from God's blessing and you're just trying to keep your head down and survive on scraps. Wherever you find yourself today, the good news of the gospel here in Ruth is that the blessing is back. And anyone can opt in by receiving words of welcome and abundant grace in God's presence and among God's people. Well, opting into God's blessing does mean letting go of other sources of favor and belonging that we've known, and there might be some pain in that. Once we're in on God's blessing, there's an even greater joy. And that's the privilege of being able to give to others the blessing that we've received. So if you'll allow me that joy and privilege in closing today, I'd love to begin to bring back the blessing by speaking over you some ancient words from Scripture, but that have been remade into a song called On Eagle's Wings. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it over you. So I invite you to get in whatever posture is most comfortable for you to receive a blessing, whether it's opening your hands, closing your eyes, whatever you need to do, but receive these words from God's heart over your life today. You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. May God's ancient words of blessing be made new in you, in us, today. Amen.